People have started with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe multiple times now. It makes sense to start with something different.
Where's the natural starting point from a marketing standpoint? We're rebooting Narnia. We're going to give them a new story they haven't seen before.
Welcome to Talking Beasts
from NarniaWeb.com,
where we explore the world of C.S. Lewis
and keep a watchful eye
on the latest Narnia movie news.
This is Talking Beasts.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Talking Beasts Season 4. I'm your host, Rillian.
And I'm Glumpuddle.
And I'm Dot.
Also, Daughter of the King. Dot, how long have you been on Narnia?
Triumphant return to the podcast.
This is the first time on the video.
Yes, first time on the video podcast.
I haven't been on a lot.
No, we haven't. I joined Narnia Web. It was sometime after the forum changeover.
So I was around 2009.
Yeah.
So.
And for those who don't know, what do you do for Narnia Web?
I moderate general movie discussion, and I'm one of the news posters.
Yep.
And you've also been on the podcast before.
Yes.
Yep.
So, it's been a while.
It was a while, yeah.
Yeah, good to be back.
Yeah, and we are, just like we said, we are on video, by the way. So if you're listening to this, you'd probably be better to watch it, I would suggest. Unless you don't want to see us, in which case, you're doing great. Turn up the volume on your iPhone and keep going.
Just keep thinking of us as faceless avatars. We're not real people.
Right.
Yep, and if you were on video, you could see these the cool logo for the Talking Beasts.
And the Horse and His Boy Play that we were just at last night.
Let's clink that.
Cheers.
And we're really starting off this new season in a whole new era for Narnia news. Mm-hmm. We're now in the Netflix Narnia world now. Netflix owns the rights to the Narnia franchise. We're no longer in the Sony world. It's really interesting all the phases we've gone through. Yeah. We don't know a whole lot about what Netflix is going to bring. What we do know that Netflix does own the rights. That's been confirmed really multiple times.
The original press release said feature film and episodic content.
Yeah.
So movies and series, I guess.
Yeah, or potentially. We don't know. And we have a new story on Narnia Netflix that Glumbuddle is going to be bringing to us today. And well, it's already been posted online, but we're going to be discussing it. And why don't you give us a rundown of
reaction
the story?
To Narnia movie news, the podcast returning to its real. I mean, not news exactly, just a little tidbit. But so we're in Taylor, South Carolina right now because we went to the world premiere of the Horse and His Boy at the Logos Theater. The first time the Horse and His Boy has been on a professional stage in the United States. And Douglas Gresham is here as well. He's been doing various things and been promoting it this week. And Arnie Weber Hogglestock, who's sitting right over there, heard Gresham make some interesting comments this week. First off, Gresham said that he favors the multi-episode approach because, quote, you can put the whole book in. I think a lot of people feel happy about that. I've seen in the comments. And mentioned the possibility of expanding on battles. And he mentioned Charn from The Magician's Nephew as an example of that. Though he did kind of say it as if he was, well, just one example, you know. And then lastly, he mentioned that there are still in negotiations with Netflix. So that raises questions about...
Yeah, negotiations, I think, is like how this is going to pan out. Not negotiations as to whether Netflix has it.
Yeah.
Right. So it raises questions about, you know, okay, they are going to do multi-episodes. Well, which books are going to be multi-episodes and which books are going to be movies? Is that how they're going to do it? And why did he mention, was he really just mentioning Charn as a just totally random example? Or should we read into that and say, does that mean that Netflix is going to start with The Magician's Nephew? Does that indicate that that's where Gresham's brain is right now? So much uncertainty, which breeds fun discussion.
Yes.
I mean, we could just wait till the movie comes out. I think there's been, sorry, really quick. The reaction has been not as extreme as I expected. And I think a lot of Narnia Webbers have kind of matured and said, well, we should just kind of wait and see, which is very reasonable, but no fun at all. So on with the discussion.
So I want to start off with, and I think I'm going to start calling it this. This is going to be a status check on Glumpuddle's brain.
Good one.
Hanging in there.
So... Status check on Glumpuddle's brain reacting to this news. Go.
Okay. So status is my feeling is that Gresham probably mentioned an example from The Magician's Nephew because that's where his brain's at right now. And I think it's very likely, and I've been saying this for a while, that Netflix will do a total reboot of Narnia and they'll start with The Magician's Nephew. For example, it might be season one of Chronicles of Narnia on Netflix is The Magician's Nephew. And The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I don't know how they break that up. Maybe it's 4 and 4. Maybe it's 3 and 5. Whatever. But But I think there's a lot of great, I think that kind of makes sense in a way. There's a lot of great reasons to do that. I think, like, if you'll see a trailer for season one, you know, coming this fall or whatever, and it'll probably be, you know, 70% images from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the iconic story we all know, but with the promise of adding something new you haven't seen before. Discover the origin of the wardrobe, discover the origin of the White Witch. So that's kind of, I'm predicting right now that The Magician's Nephew will be involved with Netflix's plans at a very early stage, maybe the very first stage.
How about you, Dot? What's your reaction to this?
I think I'm a little bit more concerned on the status of the production as a whole, because it sounds like Netflix acquired the rights, but they don't necessarily have an idea of what they're going to do with Narnia. Like, it sounds like Douglas Gresham might know what he wants to do, but not necessarily the other producers, since they're still in negotiations. It sounds like they're still trying to determine which parts are going to be episodic, which parts might be movies. I do think him mentioning Charn makes sense, because The Magician's Nephew at this point is the natural starting place. People have started with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe multiple times now. It makes sense to start with something different. And Magician's Nephew is listed as number one, even though I don't think it is.
I was going to hasten to point out, for those watching the video, we'll know that we have publication order Narnia books in front of me. So we're not saying that's the best way to start the books, but maybe a way to reboot it.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, and we've discussed that before, and I won't rehash my feelings on it. I do think, from a prediction standpoint, yes, I think that they're thinking Magician's Nephew, especially if you do a television show. If you do it in an episode by episode, well, here's 8 or 10 episodes for book one. I don't see any way that they're going to process it other than we need to do Magician's Nephew because we want to do it chronologically. It's easier to throw like a movie prequel in there than it would be a television show. And if they're doing it that way, or even if they want to do like, I wonder if sometimes if they're going to do like almost like a Sherlock style, well, here's an hour and a half episode. You know, they could do something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, is that a movie? Is that a TV show? Is it a mini movie? You know, you can look at it multiple ways, especially when you have no commercial breaks in the Netflix world. So
effectively more like a six and a half hour adaptation.
Or even something like, and even like you said, where's the natural starting point from a marketing standpoint? We're rebooting Narnia. We're going to give them a new story they haven't seen before to latch people latch onto. So I do think that the Charn reference kind of indicates, they're talking about Magician's Nephew. But I also got to say, you know, I've kind of thought out how would I adapt The Magician's Nephew, and I would do a Charn battle. I would. The way that I would do it, it would be very much in line to the battle at the gates of Moria in The Hobbit Part 1, where it was this big, intense battle scene.
Feels somewhat montage-y. Yeah.
Somewhat montage-y. It's going to be, you could do it in 45 seconds or less, you know, and it wouldn't have to take up a lot of screen time, but it'd be a way to get the action in, which, I mean, I'm just saying, studios are always in an effort to get action into stories, and there'd be ways to do it creatively. Well, my prediction is that they could be looking at it maybe in a good way, like, hey, we're going to actually establish Jadis killing off an entire, or putting an entire race of people to sleep.
No, they're dead.
I mean, they're dead. It's like, but I mean, they're
that's
they're
dead. That's what the word is, really.
They're dead, but it's like
it makes except the one who speaks it fall asleep. No,
but no, but I mean, all the ones in the do they have the statues, the Hall of Images?
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking. Like, you have all these people. Okay. You have these people frozen. You have other people. Everyone else is wiped out.
Gotcha.
But that's what I'm thinking about. So yeah, I kind of think they are in the Magician's Nephew line, and I think that they've probably discussed battles. That's my take. Although I think it was. Because Hogglestock did say it was like it was a possibility. It's not like this has been a lot of in-depth discussion. She's nodding, so I'm not too out of line here.
The battles thing. I must say, I did have this kind of sinking feeling of, I mean, when I hear they're making a Netflix series, that's not where, it was most definitely not where my brain went originally. Like, oh, they're going to expand on the battle scenes. In fact, I was thinking, this is great. They'll have more of a tendency to expect on the character stuff. You would think Netflix, because of a slightly more limited budget, might be less inclined to go that direction. I saw that as a really positive thing. So I think most of us agree. Maybe they emphasize some of the battle and action stuff too much in the other movies. And it's a thing we're always, fans of the book, we're always, oh, no, they're just going to try to squeeze in action. So the fact that he mentioned the battles as an example of something they're going to expand is a slight cause for concern. I hope it's more about expanding on like the plot, the conflict between the witch and her sister, and developing that more. Like in the horse and his boy play we saw last night, they developed, I feel like, Erebus's backstory more, and that was great. So I would love maybe an entire episode just developing the White Witch and her sister. And I really want to, I do really want to actually see that, not just here, see that image of Jadis standing on the steps of her palace and then saying the word. And a moment later, she's the only one left and it's silent. I want to see that image. That tells you who that character is, that she, Jadis and Uncle Andrew, they only care about things insofar as they are useful to them. And that just, that's a great visual to tell you who that character is.
Yeah.
So as you're kind of thinking, like, it sounds like you're starting to rethink how you feel about Narnia Netflix, just the way you're talking right now.
That bit was a slight concern, I admit. The fact that he would mention a battle as an example of something want to expand. Again, he's just sort of spitballing here, but that was a... Overall, I feel really good about Narnia Netflix, but that was a slight cause for concern that he'd mention a battle.
Where are you on your predictions, Dot, on the direction for Narnia Netflix?
I think they're more likely to do series than movies.
And that's what he's saying here. He wants the multi-episode approach.
Yeah, because most of the movies that Netflix has done have been standalone. And some of their series have been standalone, but many of their adaptations have been multiple seasons.
True. Series of Unfortunate Events.
And with
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I'm thinking they're definitely leading more towards episodic. And a lot of the original series I've watched on Netflix have done a good job of balancing character and action. So I'm not too concerned about that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of in an interesting place with Narnia Netflix. I do tend to think it will be chronological. I am thinking here that, because I kind of even... going through my notes here, just like, what have I kind of predicted? I'm thinking that they will do it chronologically, and they're going to be trying to compete with, they're going to be trying to fill a void. Game of Thrones is kind of winding down, even though Game of Thrones prequel is starting up, and they're going to be trying to compete with Amazon Prime's Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to try to, you know, they're going to go after a market here because Game of Thrones is leaving, and I see them marketing it to a PG-13 audience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think probably.
I don't see them trying to do it on an accessible level the way that The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was done, more accessible to younger kids than, say, you know, I think a lot of where I think Netflix is.
I can see if we rewind 2 years, I would probably agree with you. But now we are seeing Netflix very intentionally trying to make strides towards more family-friendly content, like the Roald Dahl universe, and they're doing the Avatar, The Last Airbender. There's a sense in the way they're presenting that Netflix is trying to expand into more family-friendly area, and I think they probably view this as a part of that.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
I don't know if I hope I'm right, honestly. I wouldn't mind seeing a slightly more mature.
Well, see, and that's the thing is, I think, and I don't watch a ton of Netflix, but the stuff I've seen, and this is kind of setting up for some stuff we want to discuss on Lewis themes later on, but I see this kind of as Netflix does a really good job portraying darker, more gritty stuff. I know gritty is a word that's overused, but it's also, it also captures what I'm trying to establish here. I think we can expect with Netflix, a darker, more gritty Narnia. I think that the music will be well done. I think the acting will be well done. Quality of production will be good. And I think whatever they decide their budget's going to be for visual effects, I think they're going to keep it within. I don't think they're going to push it beyond what they can handle. I think they'll stay like, hey, here's what we can put the money, or here's what we can do with this visual effect. We'll use creativity to, you know, work around it maybe. I think that'll all be there, but I think that we will see maybe less of an emphasis on some of the themes of joy and beauty that we see throughout.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do. And I'm kind of looking at other, some Netflix stuff I've seen. I'm also looking at kind of reviews of stuff that I haven't seen. A lot of my family, we love the Anne of Green Gables books, and it's one of my favorite books. And there's a, you know, fantastic 1980s adaptation out there. It'd be like one of my templates for here's how to adapt a book to, really it was like a TV miniseries, but it's one of my templates for here's how you would do that, because they do, like, they combine characters. They move lines around. It's not a strict, like, a BBC formula, but the themes are so well done, mm-hmm. and it is very faithful to the book. I don't know that Netflix is interested in doing that based on some of the stuff that I've seen from just, and I'm kind of secondhand here, but I've talked to people who really follow the Anne of Green Gables or the Anne with an E show, and they say there's some great moments there, but they say there's just a darker take to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same whimsical kind of story. And obviously that's something that's going to be largely like a script by script. I'm getting some nods from people. Like a script by script director, but you know, directors have a lot of input. Script writers have a lot of input. But this is a trend I'm seeing in Netflix, and this is, without any other information, this is my prediction for the direction for Narnia.
Yeah, two things there. I mean, I think I would agree they might tend towards a more mature direction, but creatively, I think it's my biggest fear. You mentioned BBC. If I have a fear with the Narnia Netflix stuff, it's that it's going to be really slavishly faithful to the point of being dull, like the BBC versions. Because
I don't
see,
I'm not afraid of that happening. I don't predict it happening.
Because I think like Netflix is a good fit for Douglas Gresham as a producer, because Netflix has a history of giving the creators a lot of control, and it makes sense why they would do that, because you can afford to go for the niche audience if you're Netflix. Yes. You don't have to, if you're Sony or Disney or Fox, you have to make something that appeals to everyone and their dog. So I feel like creatively, Gresham would feel much more at home at Netflix. So therefore, my biggest fear, it's gonna feel really slavishly faithful to the point of being dull. And again, right. As far as movies versus series, I think if you kind of read the language of the original press release and how many times they use the word universe, which is such a buzzword trying to evoke the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
The EU.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The NU.
Lally's story is coming. We should do a poster. Lally is coming.
A Horse and His Boy, a Narnia story. I think because of the way they're kind of setting that up, but investors, look, we've just bought this whole universe. I think we're more likely to get several episodes, not a miniseries.
Right.
And to lean, they may get a couple movies, feature length things, but I think it's going to be largely 8 to 12 episode seasons, whatever that.
So the Mission's Nephew, you think, will be to season one?
I think Nephew and Wardrobe are probably season one.
Winter is coming. Sorry.
I don't know. What do you think, Dot?
I think as far as like the maturity level, it'll depend on whether they want to go kid friendly or if they want to go more like a soft PG-13. Because like the Dragon Prince is one of their originals, and it's very definitely family friendly, but it's also animated. Mm-hmm. So I think that might also affect which direction they go. Because like
we haven't ruled that out.
This is true.
Well, at least some of it will be live action. The producer's LinkedIn page said live action Narnia adaptations, but there could be some animated. There could be some animated stuff.
So, like, I get. Yeah, it's
I would love
just,
that.
It's hard to know what is their target audience. We don't know that yet. I would not be surprised if they went for a slightly more mature,
like Stranger Things.
Yeah, because like. Stranger Things definitely has a lot of family-friendly moments, but it's also, it's nostalgia.
Rydian's over there going, no.
it's meant for adults who grew up in the 80s. It's basically...
It's a kid's story for adults.
Yes, it's Stranger Things is a wish fulfillment for every kid who grew up in the 80s. So I don't see them quite necessarily taking that route, because Narnia is a very different sort of story, but I can see them doing something maybe a little more like Anne with an E, which I have not seen yet, or maybe a series of unfortunate events, which I've only seen like half of, because it's a series of unfortunate events. It's kind of depressing to watch. So I'm just not sure where I think they're gonna go right now. It's wide open.
I think they're going with a series. I think they will go slightly more mature and super faithful to the book, I think. It's just because of Gresham, the way the company's going. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I'm really excited for it. I think there's a good... I may, glum puddle in the future if you're watching this and it all went poorly. I'm sorry. You're going to not enjoy watching this next part here. But
Did you just talk to yourself in the future?
It's okay to talk to yourself. Just don't answer yourself.
Dear future
me. So don't answer
me.
Back. I'm feeling more optimistic about
these. Now it's weird.
It's weird.
It was never weird before.
I'm feeling more optimistic about this than I felt about Narnia adaptations for a very long time. Like a lot of what Netflix has turned out has been good stuff. I think having that creative freedom to take risks, like do things like, I think we may see Bacchus and Silenus. We may
great.
More emphasis on the snow melting.
Oh, yes, that would be great.
Yeah, in the series, I think you can do things like that. Or even in The Horse and His Boy, we may get to see a lot more of Erebus's backstory than you would in a movie. They might kind of try to pare that down to its minimum kind of in a movie. But in a series, we could do a whole episode about Erephus's backstory. So
that would be awesome.
So really, to me, it's like, that all sounds good. The only question for me is, will they take this power they've got and use it to make something that's overly faithful to the point of being dull? To me, that's the only question in the air, which that's not, there are certainly worse things to fear. Overall, I'm feeling really optimistic about these. As someone who loves the books and as someone, and just someone who loves movies and has been so far impressed with what Netflix has put out and the way they give, they let creators take risks, I think there's a lot of reasons to be really optimistic. Glumpuddle is saying there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic.
Wow.
So, and I'm going to distinguish here real quick. I have my prediction set. It's based on some other stuff from Netflix I've seen. I think from a potential, like, here's the format, here's the studio, here's the potential.
Yep.
I am way more optimistic on the potential for this series than I ever was with Disney at this stage, or 20th Century Fox at this stage, or Sony. Okay. I am way more optimistic on the potential for this, but also the potential is overrated.
But will they use their power for good or evil?
Yes.
How about you?
I am excited about the potential. I think at the very least we'll get something very visually exciting. Netflix is very good at storytelling. So on the one hand, I'm slightly concerned that we might get something like Miyazaki's Howl's Moving Castle, which is like a really good movie, but it's almost nothing like the book at all. But as long as I get something that's like, I enjoy it. Yes, I would like to see the book brought to life, but I also just really want to see a good series.
That's my attitude. At the end of the day, the books are the books. They're never going to change, except for that one time when he did the American editions and revisions.
Yeah.
Now they're never going to change. And I really just want to see a good Netflix series that celebrates joy, that isn't just, oh, plot, keep the story moving, keep the tension on. I just want to see something that celebrates joy and atmosphere. And if they have to make changes from the book in order to accomplish that, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So for the latest Narnia Netflix news, narniaweb.com. We'll see what happens.
You've been listening and watching Talking Beasts, a narniaweb.com podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. And be sure to subscribe and post a comment below or in the Talking Beasts Facebook group.
Or on the YouTube page for this.
On the YouTube page. You can also email us at podcast@narniaweb.com, rillian@narniaweb.com, glumpuddle@narniaweb.com, or dot@narniaweb.com. Try saying that 5 times fast. Until next time, further up and further in.